Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz.
And I'm Peter Sagal. Remember the Cold War, when we thought we'd be destroyed by the menace of international communism, or the War on Terror, where we'd be taken out by crazed jihadists? Turns out, it's going to be a lunatic toddler with a terrible haircut. We'll ask who's getting in our grill now, plus Rick Nielsen of the band Cheap Trick tells us how to rock the Budokan, and Carl Castle responds to those rumors about him and Kate Upton.
Much ado about nothing, I'd say.
We'll ask what really isn't a big deal on our quiz coming up right after this hour's news.
NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. A top security official in South Korea said today that North Korea may be planning another missile test this week. He said it could come Wednesday, the deadline for foreign missions in Pyongyang to submit evacuation plans. White House advisor Dan Pfeiffer told Fox News Sunday the U.S. wouldn't be surprised.
Missile launches have been, you know, part of this repeated pattern of behavior from the North Koreans. And like I said, the onus is on the North Koreans to do the right thing here. They are the source of the problem, and the only way to solve it is for them to take a step back.
The U.S. and South Korea want Pyongyang to resume six-party talks on abandoning any nuclear ambitions. Secretary of State John Kerry opened his Mideast and Asian tour with a call for Turkey and Israel to restore normal ties and take a leading role in stabilizing the region. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
Speaking in Istanbul with Turkish Foreign Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu, Kerry urged Turkey and Israel to continue on the path of rapprochement that started with an Israeli apology for the 2010 deaths of Turkish citizens aboard an aid vessel bound for the Gaza Strip.
Turkey and Israel are both vital allies of the United States, and we are hopeful that their agreement to restore normalization between their countries will actually help to open the door to greater cooperation so that we can all of us work together to promote peace.
Turkey and Israel have discussed returning their respective ambassadors, but Turkey is also demanding compensation for the deaths aboard the aid ship Mavi Marmara, which Israel has agreed in principle to pay. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
Kerry is now in Israel. More gun show operators in New York State are signing on to propose new rules aimed at keeping guns out of the hands of prohibited buyers. From member station WNYC, Mark Garber reports.
After touring a gun show in Rochester run by one of the operators committing to the model regulations, New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman said he is proud to stand together with them to highlight a shared commitment to keeping deadly firearms out of the hands of felons, terrorists, and those who are dangerously mentally ill. The new procedures involve putting tags on all guns brought to the shows by private sellers. Those tags are checked later to determine whether gun buyers underwent a background check. Show operators also must take steps to prevent unregulated sales outside the shows. 26 operators so far have signed on to Schneiderman's model. For NPR News, I'm Mark Garber in New York.
Gun regulation on the national level is likely to come up this week in Washington. Congress returns after a two-week recess. The Senate may consider legislation drafted by the Democrats that which would expand background checks on would-be buyers. President Obama has made such an expansion a priority since the December shootings at an elementary school that killed 20 children. This is NPR News.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with Morning Edition from NPR News, reminding you this radio station's number one source of funding is you. People like you support this radio station, and that's the way it should be because we're here to serve you. It makes sense. You get what you pay for. You support independent news and information. When thousands of listeners give what they can, your collective support becomes more powerful than any other single source of income. This radio station is about you. It's about your community. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Here's the number to call to make your contribution to support listener-supported radio in Nashville and Middle Tennessee, 760-2010, 760-2010. Online, you can contribute at WPLN.org. Information, ideas, dialogue, and entertainment. Entertainment for NPR News listeners. And you might learn a little bit, too, from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, one of our favorite weekend programs here at Nashville Public Radio. It comes to us from NPR, and we pay dues to NPR to bring you this program. Our dues to NPR this year, about $500,000, and we pay for that largely with contributions from our listeners of $25, $50, $75, whatever is possible for you. Please contribute this week during our spring membership campaign. We've got some drawings coming up this week. You'll be a part of those when you contribute. That's a drawing for a Target gift card worth $1,000, a shopping spree to the mall at Green Hills worth $1,500, and a trip for two to Paris. Those are thank yous, but the money that you pledge this morning will go to pay for the programming that you value. It will come back to you in the coming weeks and months as programs like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and Morning Edition and On Point and Fresh Air and All Things Considered and all the rest made possible with listener support at WPLN. Please contribute now online. It's WPLN.org. The phone number is 760-2010. Toll free 866-760-2010. Thanks very much.
One suffers from a life threat.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Coronado Performing Arts Center in Rockford, Illinois, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, guys. Thank you. It is great to be here in Rockford at this beautiful Coronado Theater. Later on, we are going to be joined by Rockford's own Rick Nielsen, guitarist and founder of Cheap Trick. We'll be right here. But first, it's been such a crazy week. Everybody was coming up to us and they were saying, look, we really want to see Kim Kardashian in the new Tyler Perry movie, Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor. But who's got the time? Is there anything you folks at Wait Wait can do? Well, there is. Carl will now perform Kim Kardashian's best lines from Temptation. These are all real lines from the movie. Here we go.
Is this wool? It's making me itch.
And?
That's not makeup. That's make down.
There, we saved you $12. But we won't charge you anything. When you call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT, that's 888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Valerie from Fort Worth, Texas.
Hey, how are things in beautiful Fort Worth?
They're awesome.
That's great. We were in Dallas a little while ago, but we couldn't get a visa to get over to Fort Worth. How are things, is it very different over in Fort Worth from Dallas?
It is very different in Fort Worth than Dallas.
I imagine that traveling from one to the other is like going from Kansas to Oz, from black and white to color.
Yes, and color would be here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, welcome to the show, Valerie. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a Second City and Colbert Report alum. Mr. Peter Gross is right here.
Hi, Peter.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Next, wonderful woman behind the Washington Post's Reliable Source column, it is Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Roxanne. Hello, Valerie.
And a comedian from Chicago and a host at Vocalo.org, Mr. Brian Babylon is here.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Val. How are you?
I'm good.
Great.
Valerie, welcome to our show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize, Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Are you ready to go?
I am ready.
All right, here is your first quote.
D.C., L.A., and Austin?
That was the Drudge Report expressing amazement at the list of targets who is threatening to wipe off the face of the earth.
North Korea.
Yes, indeed, North Korea. Things are getting tense in the Korean Peninsula. North Korea, it's basically like a crazy guy living under a bridge with an old shopping cart filled with nuclear weapons, is threatening war against South Korea and also us. Their young, tubby president posed in front of a map showing U.S. targets for destruction. There was Hawaii, Southern California, Washington, D.C., and Austin, Texas. Austin?
What is that? What does he have against, like hipster cowboys?
He doesn't like understand. He doesn't like alt country. And now he's threatening our hipsters.
That's where we have to draw
the
line.
You know,
I live in Brooklyn, so I'm very worried.
I know.
Williamsburg wasn't on the list.
And you know what? Yeah. The latest intelligence shows that North Korea has developed an ironic mustache-seeking missile.
I am not scared, Brian.
But don't you think this put Portland at huge risk then, too?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think, though, like, being on the East Coast, I feel like totally. I used to live in Los Angeles. If I still live there, I would be legitimately, possibly, almost scared. And on the East Coast, I'd be like, I'm just going to see what happens.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think North Korea could wipe like a stain off of a table, much less like a city off of a map.
Well, hold on. Don't let them hear you say that.
No, they don't listen to the show.
You're right.
They listen to Car Talk, and then they turn off NPR.
Yeah.
They love those guys, and then it's over.
Yeah. Well, hold on, Peter.
Yes, Brian.
Isn't North Korea the soldiers that do, like, the rockets marching?
Yeah, they do all this, like, really, what's the word, synchronized marching.
I'm not really worried about them, because that's exhausting. I mean, they might have nice legs, but they're exhausted
you
from
think
all that.
You think
did they get rockets technology, though? Yeah. Who gave them the kick line?
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's like we've been worried about them developing rockets. It's just been the rockets
it's
all
the rockets the whole time.
Why worry?
Christmas in North Korea is amazing.
Valerie, your next quote is from someone talking about one American's decision this week to give himself a pay cut.
It's about as admirable as a mansion owner shutting off his marble fountains during a drought.
That was a man named Philip Bump writing in the Atlantic Wire. He was writing about whose self-imposed 5% pay cut?
Barack Obama's.
Yes, indeed, President Obama. This week, President Obama announced he'd take a 5% pay cut to express solidarity with all the federal workers who've had to take pay cuts because of the sequester. President Clinton felt our pain. President Obama feels 5% of our pain. Just like the furloughed park rangers, customs workers, he will travel from his free mansion to his free private jumbo jet in his free armored limo. And he is changing the name of his enormous private jet to Air Force 0.95.
Oh, Barry.
What a socialist. He is giving more money to the government.
I know.
No, wait.
He can't take money,
I'll
enough
take
money
it,
from us.
I'll take it. I'll take it. It's 20 grand, right?
It's 20 grand.
I'll take it.
This is amazing. This is 20 grand. I mean, you know, thanks to the president's sacrifice, the nation can now afford a 2010 Nissan Versa. Valerie, you are doing very well. We have one more quote for you. Here it is.
Much ado about nothing, I'd say.
That was a comment on a story posted in London's Telegraph newspaper. The story accuses what historical figure of being a food hoarder and a tax evader?
I don't know.
Well, to save all these newspapers or not, that is the question.
Think about elaborate blouses.
Shakespeare, yeah. Yes. You may think of William Shakespeare as just a talented playwright who romanced Gwyneth Paltrow, but according to scholars, he was also a greedy bastard. A study of his business records back in Stratford-upon-Avon shows that he would buy up grain and resell it at a massive profit during shortages. He was also accused of evading taxes on those profits. Turns out there were clues to these business dealings all along in his plays like Much Ado About the Taxes I Don't Actually Owe You People.
What is a tax man like? What was a tax man like back then? I'm curious about that.
I believe he was armed with a large cudgel.
And what's the thing with the ball and the spikes?
That would be a mace.
Mace.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a tax man for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are there still... Who has Shakespeare's tax records? I don't have my W-2s from, like, 2011. How do they have these, like, 500-year-old records? Shakespeare is like the easiest target for like historical revisionism. Like at one point, wasn't it like it was seven different guys, and right. it was Francis Bacon,
it was
and
Edward De Vere.
Yeah, it was all these, and now he was a grain hoarder. Like so he's a hoarder. Like we revere hoarders now. We put them on television.
This is true.
Who cares?
But you know what?
He was a storage warrior.
Yeah.
But he made duck calls with his friends.
I'm thinking like, you know, like old-timey hoarding. Like that. I like my hoarding modern, like newspapers
yeah.
and QVC purchases. Like, you know, a whole bunch of quills is hard. Yeah.
The thing that gets me is the idea that he might have been in legal trouble, that these scholars have deduced from tax records that he was underpaying his taxes and therefore he might have been liable. I mean, it turns out that that Elizabethan collar that you see him wearing,
yeah.
actually... It was like an early 17th century version of a tracking collar. And the idea was that if they put it on you, you couldn't leave your house because you couldn't fit through the door. He was like the Lindsay Lohan of his day.
That's hilarious. But if someone said that too, if they were like, Shakespeare used to get drunk and drive a cart into a crowd of people and, you know, and...
He was constantly getting on his horse without his underwear. Oh, yeah. My God. And the paparazzi was out there doing etchings of him, you know.
Oh, another up pantaloon etching of Shakespeare.
Carl, how did Valerie do in our quiz?
Valerie, you had a perfect game, 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your answering machine.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing, Valerie.
Thank you.
We want to remind everybody they can join us most weeks back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org. And you can find a link at our website, WaitWaitTickets.org. There you can find out about our big Cinecast event. Wait Wait is coming to a movie theater near you on May 2nd, live from New York with special guest Steve Martin. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Brian, more Americans are walking away from traffic accidents that years ago might have left them injured. What do we have to thank for this?
I would definitely need a hand for this.
Live a little. You know, go back for that second helping of body armor.
Oh, no. We are fatter than
ever. We are fatter than ever, and that is helping us survive accidents, apparently. Oh, yeah. People are like, yeah!
USA! USA!
Yeah.
Let's all drive recklessly over to the Cracker Barrel on I-90. Come on!
And even more recklessly on the way home.
You know, that should be one of the, what's that, the Golden Corral Buffet? That should be their ad campaign, We Save Lives.
Yeah. It used to be
Golden Corral.
It used to be the jaws of life that saved you from accidents. Now it's the jaws of your face. According to an NYU study, drivers and pedestrians are being protected from injury by their extra layers. You call it a big butt, we call it God's airbags. Coming up, it's a dog-eat-dog bluff-the-listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. And Rockford's own Rick Nielsen of Cheap Trick joins us to play Not My Job. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. The National Association of Realtors, an advocate for home ownership. More at HouseLogic.com/homeownership. Esurance, an Allstate company, born online and offering tools and resources for drivers to make decisions about their car insurance at esurance.com. And RDO, a digital music service allowing listeners to discover millions of songs and listen everywhere at RDIO.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Brian Babylon, Roxanne Roberts, and Peter Gross. And here again is your host at the Coronado Performing Arts Center in Rockford, Illinois, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, Peter, this is John Holstrom calling from Telluride, Colorado.
Yeah, Telluride, I've been there. It's gorgeous. Are you into all that skiing and hiking stuff that you people do?
Sure, we do all of that. We do just about everything here in Telluride.
I know, it's a great place.
You name it, we've got it.
Except for affordable housing.
Except for affordable housing.
Well, you'll get that someday. John, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is the topic?
Ruff, ruff, read all about it.
Great.
Now, you may be putting newspapers down for your dog, but it turns out they're not just using them to do their business, they're also reading them. We heard from some dogs that we know that there was a story in the news this week that got them, the dogs, all excited. Each of our panelists are going to read you a story that we think would be of great interest to the dogs in your life, but only one of them is true. Guess that real story, you'll win Carl's bark on your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to play?
Oh, yeah.
All right. The first story that the dogs got all excited about will be from Roxanne Roberts.
It's a cold, cold world for a flea without a dog. Instead of nestling in the warm fur of, say, a German shepherd, a troop of trained circus fleas fell victim to hypothermia in the frigid weather of Western Germany last week. 300 performing fleas were found frozen in their enclosure at an open-air fair in Mecklenburg-Vorpommern, the first time, said director Robert Burke, that he lost all the insects at once. Although fleas can jump like crazy, it wasn't enough to save them from the freezing, or should I say fleezing, temperatures. Quote, it's hard to know when minus temperatures will be fatal for them, Burke told the BBC, but the show must go on, and it did, with 50 fleas donated in time for Sunday's performance. And no, Burke insists, it was not an April Fool's Day joke.
A flea circus gets killed, making the dogs either excited or sad, depending on how they feel about fleas. Your next story of dogged reporting comes from Brian Babylon.
Tika Tech Electronics has developed electronic wired pans to combat symptoms of restless leg syndrome, a.k.a. RLS. The pans run an electric current through your legs, giving them a light lobotomy, says CEO and founder Tika Latore. Everything in initial tests was going great, she says, but dog owners reported a change in a dog's behavior when the owners would wear the pants. What change, you may be asking? The tradition of good old-fashioned leg humping. Marcus Kinsey, test subject of the electric pants and owner of Yummy Boo Boo, said, Yummy used to hump my leg all the time when I came home from work. I mean, he could hump through a pair of corduroys. But now, when I wear the pants, he just looks across the room at me like I slipped some organic dog food on him. Turns out, the dogs were feeling an electric current from the pants on their underbelly and doggy parts. A lead scientist at Tika Tech gave a statement saying that they're going to go back to the drawing board and fix this problem so dog owners can fight RLS and dogs can get their hump on at the same time.
Alrighty then. Electric pants getting in the way of a dog's social life. Your last story of news that got tails wagging comes from Peter Gross.
Every dog loves to play fetch, except for that part where your owner only pretends to throw the ball but hides it behind his back. That is not cool, man. Last week, there was some strange news, though, for dog owners. When a shipment of tennis balls overturned on a highway near Akron, Ohio, dogs from all over the area were drawn to the accident site, howling and licking their lips voraciously. After questioning from local authorities, the Wilson Sporting Goods Company was forced to admit that their new tennis balls are made with a polymer containing real cowhide. Yes, just beneath that weird, fuzzy, yellow stuff made out of God knows what is a layer of salted, dried cow skin. Then, at this week's Stan Smith Invitational Tennis Tournament in Sarasota, Florida, things got intense. During the mixed doubles finals, a pack of salivating wild dogs burrowed under the walls of the stadium, snuck past security, and overran the court. A panicked crowd scattered all over. Frightened ball boys ran for their lives. The ravenous rovers even chased one ball boy up the umpire's chair. Luckily, the incident ended without any harm. At first, I was pretty scared, said ball boy Sean Ravitz. But then I realized they were just after my balls.
So here we go. One of these stories is true, John. Would the dogs be excited about the story about the entire flea circus being wiped out in Germany by a cold snap? That's from Roxanne Roberts. From Brian Babylon, electric pants for restless leg syndrome, making it hard for dogs to express their affection. Or from Peter Gross, a new kind of tennis ball with cowhide that made the dogs very excited indeed. Which of these is the real story in the week's news?
You got to be kidding me. I'm going to go with Roxanne, I think.
You're going to go with Roxanne's story of the flea circus biting the dust?
Yeah.
I understand. All right. You spoke to someone who is familiar with this story.
There are very, very, very few circuses left that actually use live fleas. A lot of times people, they just use dead fleas.
That was Mike Catt, also known as Professor Marvel of Professor Marvel and His Amazing Flea Circus. Congratulations, John. You got it right. You earned a point for Roxanne Roberts, and you've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
No more dogging, playing around with you.
And now the game where we take famous people and we treat them infamously. Every Midwestern city has garages full of four local teenagers playing rock and roll and dreaming of the big time. But Rockford, Illinois boasts of one of the few that made it. Rick Nielsen formed Cheap Trick with three of his friends back in 1973, right here in Rockford. Since then, they've traveled the world, they've put out more than 16 albums, and Rick Nielsen still lives right here in his hometown. Rick Nielsen, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, thank you.
It's a great pleasure to have you.
Happy to be here.
So, that story is true. Is you grew up in Rockford, your father ran a music store?
He ran a music store, and he was also an opera singer, and he's a choir director, and he had one child.
I understand. Well, he was busy with all those other things. And when you found it, you had been in a band called Fuse that put out a record, and then you came back to Rockford, and you got a new singer who you had to wait till he was, like, his contract with the Wisconsin Resort was up?
Wisconsin Dells. I mean, yeah, that's true. Robin Zander was at the Wisconsin Dells. He didn't want to quit his $100 a week gig.
Sure, well, those are hard to come by.
Yes.
Wisconsin Dells, for those who don't know, is sort of a somewhat cheesy tourist town.
Somewhat?
Somewhat.
Okay.
I was trying to be polite.
Yeah. Played there many times.
So you were able to get him out of that big time, get him down here.
Fooled him.
Now, we were told that when you guys started with Cheap Trick, your reception was okay in America, but it was, to use the phrase, huge in Japan.
yes, it's true. We were probably the only group or company that brought money back from Asia to the United States.
In the 70s, yeah. So can you explain that? I mean, we heard that when you showed up to Japan for your famous tour that resulted in Live at Budokan, there were like thousands of people at the airport waiting for you.
Yeah, we thought that there was somebody famous on the plane. And we got off and we found out that we were recognized. There was 5,000 people waiting for us. Usually it's TSA waiting for us.
Yeah. Well, can you explain that? I mean,
they liked
fans?
Our music. I've got to say one thing.
Please.
So the last time that I played here, there were 2,500 crazy idiots in here.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
Really? It's really the same. I remember, I mean, I became aware of Cheap Trick, like so many people here, because of the record you recorded over there, Live at Budokan,
yes.
1 at 2. And those videos that you guys put up of your live performances on MTV. And I remember watching it, and there was the rest of the band, and your lead singer had that, you know, that classic 70s, early 80s rock and roll look. He had the long feathered hair.
Like yours.
Yeah, very much like mine. But you had this completely different look. You were wearing a bow tie. You had your ball cap.
I've changed.
You have it, and you're still wearing it. So did you, like, pick out a particular look for yourself?
I was never going to be very cute. I always looked for the best people to play with, and because to make myself look better.
Yeah.
And I did pretty good.
You did. So you also, the other thing I remember is you playing these amazing guitars. You have these double neck guitars we used to see. I once saw you with a five necked guitar. Why a five necked guitar?
If you're going to be ridiculous, be over the top ridiculous.
Absolutely. Is there an actual point to a five neck guitar?
Oh, hell no.
No, it's just...
Did you have to buy that? Was it, like, available in the store, or did you commission that?
Oh, no, they used to sell those at Sears.
I want a gallon of paint.
I want a gingham dress, a washing tub, and a five neck electric guitar. How many... I'm not a musician. I don't know. How many guitars does a man need?
How many do you want?
Why? I would assume that one would be enough, it being a guitar.
It's not the American way.
Well, no. You're in radio, so you probably have 100 microphones.
No, just the one. That's all I need. I have one mouth.
Let's see. You're in comedy. You must have at least one good joke.
No, pretty much. But no, I'm genuinely serious.
I don't know.
I mean, do you like have all these guitars because they have different sounds? You just love them as art objects, or do you just like counting your guitars?
Look at me. I need all the help I can get.
I guess so. But is there one guitar you play in concerts, or do you just...
I play a different guitar every song.
Really?
Yeah. I did it out of necessity back in the 60s when I started playing, because I hit the guitar so hard, I'd always knock it out of tune. And I always hated watching bands. A guy would break a string or be out of tune, and I had perfect pitch, so it always ticked me off when the guy's up there and he'd break a string. You know, and 40 years later, all the guitar players play with their backs to you now. So that's what I used to see, and I hated that. So I got guitars, and every time I'd knock it out, I'd pick up another one.
Oh, wow.
And I've been playing 5,000 shows, so I picked up about 5,000 guitars.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's half a true story, yes.
Do you have a favorite guitar?
He's like Shakespeare, hoarding
well,
guitars.
I bought a guitar, actually, two doors or the next block down here in 1965. I bought a 1955 Gibson Les Paul guitar. It was a place called the A Bookstore, and I paid $65 for it. And the one just sold for about $85,000.
Right. Isn't this the same kind of guitar that Billy...
I'm stupid, but I still did that.
So you've played with, like, Chuck Berry.
Bo Diddley.
How did those things come about?
They liked me.
There you are.
I played with Bo Diddley, Del Shannon, Freddie Cannon, the Shirelles, Kiss, Aerosmith, Hall & Oates. Alejandro Guzman, Buddy Guy, Jeff Beck, John Lennon too.
Wow.
I played with all these guys. And you know, so because you know, you think about it, I can play okay, but look at me, I won't steal their girlfriend.
There you go. I want to ask you about your family, because my understanding is you still live here in Rockford. You've been married to the same woman for 40 years?
43 long, agonizing years.
I'm sure. So you travel the world as a rock and roll star, and you live in the same mid-sized city you grew up in, and you've been married to the same woman for 43 years.
I took a lot of drugs earlier.
Apparently. So here's my question. Are you doing the rock and roll thing completely right or completely wrong?
You know, it's like people get divorced in radio, in lawyers, in doctors, and this and that. You make your priorities.
Right.
My priorities were to do what I wanted to do and marry someone that wanted to do what she wanted to do. And when we were together, once in a while, we do it.
There you are.
I think you just wrote the shortest marriage book in the world.
That's really awesome. That's
put that the entire book on marriage.
Rick Nielsen, we're delighted to have you, and we've asked you here to play a game.
Yes?
That we're calling... So you were in the band Cheap Trick, so we thought we would ask you about Sheep Tricks.
Oh.
Answer two out of three questions about talented sheep, and you will win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, baaing on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Rick Nielsen playing for?
Rick is playing for Len Swartz of Coal City, Illinois.
All right.
Here's your first question, Rick. In 2007, the British news site Metro UK reported that more and more Japanese people were adopting sheep as pets. Why were they doing that? Was it A, because unlike dogs, they make a nice entree once their natural lives were over? B, because of the newest Japanese social craze, herding parties? Or C, an internet company was shaving the sheep in a certain way and convincing people they were poodles?
All of the above. No,
yes, sir.
C.
C, that yes, they were selling them as fake poodles?
Yes.
You're right. That's what they were doing.
Yeah, right.
The alleged scam fell apart when customers started complaining that their new poodles would not come when called. Next question. People who've tried to train sheep discovered they had something in common, the sheep that is, with NPR listeners. What is it? A, the sheep love the taste of tote bags. B, they really like Chardonnay. Or C, they love the sound of two guys from Boston laughing at their own jokes.
B.
Chardonnay.
Yes.
You're right. You seem so certain. Researchers have used sheep to weed vineyards, and they discovered that they like some wine grapes more than others, and their favorite is Chardonnay. Very good. All
Who
right.
Knew?
Who knew? You did, apparently.
Yeah.
Last question. A sheep farmer in Canada published a guide to training your sheep. He says that if a ram starts to get aggressive, it can be effective to do what? A, grab its horns, flip it over, and tickle its little belly. B, bark at it like a dog. Or C, look at it and think of lamb chops.
I'd say B.
B. You're going to say bark at it like a dog?
Yeah.
No, actually, it was C. This is what the shepherd says. It says, if the ram is giving you a hard time, if you look at it and sort of put on a mean face and think of it as lamb chops, it will recognize you as a possible predator and back off.
Right.
It'll try it. We want you all to go out, find a ram, see how it works.
Peter?
Yes, sir.
Let me look at you.
I'm backing off, my friend. Carl, how did Rick Nielsen do on our quiz?
Well, he had two correct answers, Peter, and that's good enough to win for Len Swartz. Congratulations.
That's awesome. Rick Nielsen's exhibit, Rick's Picks, A Lifelong Affair with the Guitars and Music, is now at the Burpee Museum in Rockford, Illinois. Rick Nielsen, thank you so much for joining us. I'm really, really proud of you. In just a minute, Carl does some squat thrusts and deep knee bends in our listener limerick challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, boats, and motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Lumber Liquidators, offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained, at 1-800-HARDWOOD. CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight, nearly 450 miles on 1 gallon of fuel, to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And Angie's List, providing reviews of local contractors, dentists, electricians, and mechanics to keep the consumer informed. More at angieslist.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
And WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Peter Gross, Roxanne Roberts, and Brian Babylon. And here again is your host at the Coronado Performing Arts Center in Rockford, Illinois, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. In just a minute, Carl channels his favorite member of Cheap Trick, Limerick Nielsen. And our listener, Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, of course, it is your turn for some more questions from the week's news. Roxanne, get ready to welcome a new country to the world community. On April 11th, the UN will designate what as a state?
Disney World.
No. I'll give you a hint. The president of this new country is Oscar the Grouch.
Sesame Street?
No.
Oscar the Grouch.
What does Oscar the Grouch famously love?
Oscar the Grouch loves garbage cans.
He loves, how does the song go? I love...
Trash?
Trash. They are giving member state status to a big floating island of trash.
Oh, no.
And not just one of them either. Five floating trash islands all around the world. The new UN-recognized state, known as Garbage Patch, is an attempt to bring attention to the problem of these garbage vortexes. These are places in the oceans where currents bring together these massive piles of discarded plastic that stay there forever. The flag of Garbage Patch is the color blue, like the oceans they are polluting. The official language is, of course, trash talk.
So wait a minute, who lives here? Garbage Pail Kids? Like, who?
I think Lindsay Lohan lives there. She's pretty trashy.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. I mean, if trash is now a country, then being trashy is an ethnicity.
Yeah, and then they're protected.
Exactly. So you just call Lindsay Lohan trashy? You're a racist.
I'm a racist.
You're terrible.
I thought I was just being sexist. Dang it.
How big is this place?
They're enormous. They're square miles of
trash
floating
in the middle
of the ocean.
Yeah, one of them is as big as
Texas. The one in the Pacific is famously called as big as Texas.
Can we make this a tourist destination? That would be...
Well, yeah, Sandals has actually opened a resort. On the one in the Pacific.
It's just a bunch of sandals, too.
Yeah, that's right. It's called sandals.
And don't be surprised if Carnival Cruises doesn't make this one of their stops.
Yeah. When the toilets don't work, just get off and go to the garbage patch.
Brian, a new study finds that employees who are the most positive about their companies and most excited to work for them are also what?
Stoned. No, all right, give me a
I love it here, man.
Are you giving me the hand?
Remember how the seven dwarves whistled while they worked?
Uh-huh.
They hardly mind anything, it turns out.
Oh, people who are most happy at work do crappy work.
Exactly right.
Yes.
That
got
seems
it.
To be the
got
case.
It. There we go.
According to the oxymoronic research firm Leadership IQ, the happiest workers are often the low performers. It's like that old song, if you're happy and you know it, you're incompetent. It makes sense, because if you think about it, the high performers, the guys who get all the work done, you know this. They're the people staying late. They're doing the work other people should have done in the first place. They end up tense and bitter. Like Carl. Low performers are happy and stress-free because nobody ever asks them to do anything. Right? That's no problem. Think about it. IKEA meat testers? Never meet a happier bunch. Kim Jong-un, delight to be around. Joe Biden, look at that smile.
So, for example, a person who gets in at 10 and they leave at 2 and they take a 4-hour lunch.
Yeah.
You're talking about someone like
that. Yeah, and they love their job. What's not to love?
Exactly. Okay.
You see what I mean?
And then during the 15 minutes they're supposed to be working, they're going around collecting for somebody's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Can you sign the card?
Yep. Yeah. There's cake in the lunchroom. The cake coordinator.
Exactly.
That's the person.
Peter, we've heard about the nightmares on some cruise ships recently. Well, a travel company released some of the complaints they've gotten from cruise ship passengers. And among the complaints they got was what?
Too little land.
That garbage island was horrible.
Yeah.
So not something that happened like... toilet's not working.
Yeah, it's like the ship slowly filling with sewage.
Yeah,
no, that
exactly.
was not one of the complaints.
This wasn't told this would be sewer ship. one of their complaints is too rocky, the water too rocky?
It was about the water.
It was rough. Too blue.
Not too blue.
Wet.
No, you're getting
salty?
Well, they could...
Cold.
They couldn't sleep. Apparently, this woman couldn't sleep at night. She kept banging on the floor to get it to quiet down.
Oh, it kept running? Loud. The water was too loud.
The water was too loud. Oh, okay. The sea was too loud.
Oh.
One passenger couldn't sleep at night, and she went so far to ask if her stateroom could be soundproofed from the ocean. So there are reasons you go on a cruise. Endless buffets, backed up toilets, Somali pirates. The last thing you want is the relaxing sound of ocean waves. Next thing you know, the sunsets will be full of annoying colors. This is all true. One other cruise ship passengers complained about not being able to get an impressive tan on a cruise to Alaska. And a woman who went on a trip with the Celebrity Cruise Company bitterly complained that there were, in fact, no celebrities on board.
Wow. I do not consider Eric Estrada a celebrity.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show at Tanglewood in Lenox, Massachusetts. You know it, on August 29th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, this is Jack Tarnowski.
Hey, Jack, where are you calling from?
Gaffney, South Carolina.
Now, Gaffney, I don't know. Where is it?
It's in the upstate.
Uh-huh. And I got to ask you, Mr. Mark Sanford, your former governor, is running for Congress.
Yes.
He's doing this after, of course, he left office under somewhat of a cloud.
Right.
Do you think that South Carolinians are forgiving enough to give him another chance?
I do not.
Really? You think... Okay, well, we'll take that as a prediction. Well, welcome to the show, Jack. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks. Of course, he's going to stop right before he gets to the end because it's your job to fill in that last word or phrase. Do that two times out of three, and you will be a winner. Ready to play?
I am.
Here's your first limerick.
Though the jelly's the least healthy bean, I return to the candy machine. My sweet tooth's enabled by FDA labels. I think go, because the color is...
green.
Right. According to a recent study in the journal Health Communications, people are more likely to eat candy bars if they come printed with a green label. People just assume if something is covered in green, it must be good for you. So from now on, a moldy stick of butter counts as health food. All right, here is your next limerick.
My dad and his dad before him never ran nor have gone for a swim. It is deep in my genes to avoid weight machines. DNA says I won't hit the...
gym.
Right. A new study from the Journal of Convenient Excuses for Slobs claims that we are genetically predisposed to either hate or love exercise. As much as 50% of our reluctance to exercise is genetic, scientists say, but that doesn't account for the other 50%, which is controlled by the part of our brain called the lazy bellum.
I'm so happy that just came out.
Yeah.
Is there another gene that tricks you into joining a gym every 2 years?
Yeah, exactly.
After you
thinking,
quit the other
one? Yeah, man, it's going to be great.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to do it this time. I'm really going to do it.
Here is your last limerick.
Airplane bathrooms are big, don't you think? Well, for one, no one uses the sink. And when folks stop excreting, we'll have extra seating. We're agreed, then, the bathrooms must...
stink.
Yes, they will, no doubt, but that's not the right answer.
Oh.
Listen to the first line. Airplane bathrooms are big, don't you think? So therefore, the bathrooms must...
no clue.
No clue? How about shrink?
Shrink.
Shrink!
Okay.
Giving a new meaning... to the term water closet, airlines are adding more room to the cabin by shrinking the size of the bathrooms.
Oh, goodness.
You didn't think that was possible, did you?
I did not.
Apparently, not enough people are getting stuck inside, and the flight attendants have nothing else to entertain them. Delta will reportedly be the first airline to install the new bathrooms, of course, which will shrink from the standard 3-foot by 3-foot size to a catheter they hand you when you board.
What is it that they're going to give up?
What do you mean?
I mean,
room
it's just...
yeah, I mean, you're thinking, like,
gonna,
how could you possibly
shrink it?
They're
still going to have a sink.
You know what's going to happen, Roxanne? Ladies are going to have to stand.
Yeah.
Get used to it.
Live our life.
To learn how to live the shame that men live. Where we have to stand like an animal.
Carl, how did Jack do in our quiz?
Well, Jack, you're a winner. You had two correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Jack, and thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I can't believe it, but it is time for our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a two-way tie for first place Peter. Roxanne Roberts and Peter Gross, they both have 3 points, and Brian Babylon has two.
All right. Well, Brian, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when they begin your first question. Fill in the blank.
Okay.
On Thursday, Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy signed a strict new blank control bill into law.
Gun.
Yes. A grand jury in Atlanta indicted the superintendent of schools and 34 other educators for their part in a huge blanking scandal.
Cheating.
Yes. Federal prosecutors arrested 6 people on Tuesday morning accused of plotting to fix New York's blank election.
Mayoral.
Yes. Trains in Berlin were stopped temporarily after workers discovered a live blank from World War II near the main train station.
Mine.
Yeah, close enough. A bomb. The maker of the new map app, Rigo, became a surprise hit in Brazil, primarily because blank.
It told you where strip clubs were.
No, the word Rigo translates to butt crack in Portuguese slang. Louisville basketball player Kevin Ware was released from the hospital Tuesday just 2 days after he blanked during a game.
Broke his leg.
Yes. In the wake of a recent see-through yoga pants fiasco, the chief product officer at blank stepped down.
Lululemon.
Yes. Target customers complained after a dress described as dark heather gray in regular sizes was described as blank in plus size.
Fat gray.
Close. Manatee gray. Walrus gray
so
was
wrong.
Out of stock.
So wrong.
The manatee
mountain
also
gray.
I think manatees are cute.
They are
but
adorable.
Still,
the manatee is also known as the sea cow, so you know it could actually have been worse, I guess. Many experts believe that manatees are what old sailors saw when they thought they were seeing mermaids, which is just the kind of interesting fact that can't possibly help Target right now. Carl, I thought Brian did pretty well. What do you think?
6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and he's taken the lead.
Okay.
All right, here we go. We flipped a coin. Peter has elected to go next. After a reoccurrence of cancer, film critic Blank died Thursday at age 70.
Roger Ebert.
Yeah, we'll miss him. For its April Fool's Day prank this year, Google announced, quote, the new sensation in search, Google blank.
Google minus.
Google knows. After running into problems at German customs this week, authorities say that Justin Bieber still has not come back to blank.
America.
He has not come back to pick up his monkey. Oh. He left it there. In a press conference on Thursday, Blank unveiled its new smartphone software that highlights social networking.
Mm-hmm. I know this. Facebook.
Yes. Pixar and Disney announced plans to release a sequel to the movie Blank called Finding Dory.
Finding Nemo?
Right. Mount St. Vincent University in Canada put up a billboard with 3 men in suits to celebrate their new Blank.
Their new man in suits sale.
No, to celebrate their new salute to remarkable women.
Women, yeah.
The men had donated to the project. The university is proud that in 1 year they were able to create both the, quote, women's wall of honor and the treasured men's billboard of missing the point. Carl, how did Peter do in our quiz?
Peter had 3 correct answers for 6 more points. He has now 9 points. But Ryan still has the lead with 14.
All right. Yep. So how many, then, does Roxanne need to win it?
6 to win.
All right, Roxanne. Here we go. This is for the game, and I know you want it. Here we go. This week, Mark Kirk of Illinois became the 2nd Republican senator to come out in support of blank.
Gay marriage.
Right. After he was seen on videotape abusing his players, Mike Rice was fired from his coaching job at blank.
Rutgers.
Right. After it slipped its mooring at an Alabama shipyard, the blank, famous for breaking down in the Gulf of Mexico, was recaptured.
The Carnival cruise ship.
Right. Scientists in China are monitoring new cases of H7H9, a new strain of blank.
I think it's bird flu, isn't
it? Right. To flush out a burglary suspect hiding inside a home, police in Connecticut blanked.
They ordered pizza.
No, they barked like dogs, so we would think the police dogs were after him. This week, Jimmy Fallon and Jay Leno both confirmed that Fallon will be taking over the blank next year.
The Tonight Show.
Yes, this week, archaeologists in Turkey announced that they have discovered the Pluto's Gate, a mythical portal to blank.
To Hades, to hell.
Yeah. Scientists in Santa Cruz announced this week that Ronan the sea lion is the first sea lion found that is able to blank.
He's able to go to the beat. He can follow a beat specifically to the Backstreet Boys.
Yes, you're right. He can dance to a beat.
That clip
I've watched
is amazing.
That video.
It's
awesome.
Ronan the sea lion surprised scientists when it found the beat and bobbed its head all on its own. Ronan likes Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Backstreet Boys. But then again, Ronan also likes old fish tossed into its mouth. Marine biologists say the discovery it can dance to a beat eliminates any hope that the sea lion is the earliest known ancestor of your dad. Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
She did it 6 correct answers. Roxanne had 7 correct answers.
Oh, my God.
17 points. Roxanne Roberts is this week's champion.
What a boss. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, now that Shakespeare's rep has taken a hit, who will be the next revered figure to fall? But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. Ally Bank, who believes intelligent news and knowledgeable customer service should be available around the clock. Learn more at allybank.com. Lindemood Bell Learning Centers, providing innovative programs for reading, comprehension, and math, online at lindemoodbell.com. And RDO, a digital music service, allowing listeners to discover millions of songs and listen everywhere. RDIO.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Let's Get Them Berman, Benevolent Overlord, and Rhythmic Sea Lion. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler James Green. Our intern is Miles. I see a red Dornbos, and I want to paint it black. Our web guru is Beth Novi. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Special thanks to the crew at the Coronado Performing Arts Center in Rockford. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now panel, who is the next revered figure to take a blow to his or her reputation? Brian Babylon.
All right, Abe Lincoln owned slaves, a lot of them.
Oh, that would be bad. That would be bad. Roxanne Roberts.
None of her lovers would tell her, but Catherine the Great wasn't.
And Peter Gross.
We will discover that NPR personality Robert Siegel has, in actuality, only been considering some things.
Well, if any of that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Brian Babylon, Roxanne Roberts, and Peter Gross. Thanks to everyone at WNIJ and our great audience here in Rockford, Illinois. Thanks to you all for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.